Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you've heard read. And the theme for us is a very important theme for us today and every day. Lord Jesus, have mercy and help us. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you've heard it before. Stand firm. Take heart. Never give up. Stay persistent. All too often you hear these phrases in church, not only in society, but especially in church. And all too often, God's children give up. Yes, they give up way, way, way too early. When tragic events happen, when life seems to overwhelm us, when it seems that no one cares about me, then we are tempted just to throw our arms up, to give up, turn our back on Jesus, and walk out of the church, to go out there into the world and try it all alone. Yet today we hear the importance of never, ever giving up in seeking God's mercy and His help. So this morning, you hear why you are to remain persistent, why you must stand firm, why it's important to take heart, why it's important to always stay persistent, especially in the holy things of God. So today you hear a prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy and help us. That our Lord heals and saves is an instant of the steadfast mercy of God. And in His steadfast mercy, for which this pagan woman is also seeking, her prayer is joined by that of all of God's people, even though she herself, she is a Canaanite woman. She is a pagan. She is not a child of Israel. Therefore, she is outside, for the moment, of the promise. Now, the mercy and pity of Jesus may not be immediately evident. The Lord's response, as you notice, is simply not to say a word. It almost seems like He kind of turns His back on her and just walks away. I don't know about you, but that really irks me when people do that to me. But the woman wasn't irked. It made her more resolved. It made her more persistent. So think of those things, dear ones, that hinder you. Think of the Canaanite woman here, a lady who is outside of the promise of God. In all reality, she has no hope, but she is faced with many obstacles. The major obstacle that she has is now her daughter, possessed by a demon, and she's now seeking after this man from Nazareth, of whom she's heard about, and notice how she addresses him. O Lord, Son of David! Those are words of faith. Even though she's outside of the promise, she is still speaking words of faith. She knows who this Jesus is. She's being led to Him by the Holy Spirit. And soon she will kneel before Him, and Jesus will have mercy upon her. I don't know if you ever realized or not, my dear friends, but you get a great deal of help in this life, don't you? You get a great deal of help in falling away from Jesus. After all, you have Satan against you, you have the world against you, and you have your own sinful flesh against you. Oh, you get a great deal of help turning your back on Jesus. And not only that, there's also family and friends and even society itself, yes, the world. They all tempt you. They all tempt you in persisting that your way be done and not God's way. They are persistent in telling you, you don't need this religion thing. You don't need this Jesus man. You don't need the gifts that he gives you in church. You can do it yourself. He doesn't have mercy. He will not help you. He's dead and gone. Discouragement in his delay also is a problem for many. I know that many of you have been praying for many, many things. And sometimes you think that God is just not listening. It may seem like he has kind of let go of you and you're out there on your own. You pray and you pray and you pray and nothing happens. And so then what do? You stop wrestling with God as Jacob wrestled with his Lord. We stop being persistent. We begin to give up. We lose heart. We fail to stand firm. How often do you and I persistently cry out after him, just as this pagan woman did? Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. What if? I know I don't like that phrase either, but what if? What if this Canaanite woman had given up when Jesus turned and walked away from her, not speaking a word? What would have happened? Well, it would be sheer speculation. But it would have been a sign that if she just slinked away back to her home, consigning her daughter to Satan, that would have been a proof that she truly had no faith in the Son of David. It really actually would have been a proof of her unbelief. So Jesus delays in giving her an answer. Jesus delays his mercy. Jesus delays blessing her. Why does he do this? Now, some may want to tell you that Jesus was just snubbing her. No, Jesus wasn't snubbing the woman. He was actually teaching his disciples. His disciples then and his disciples today. He was actually teaching them something very, very important about his ministry. By waiting to answer her prayers and your prayers, God is seeking to test your faith. He's allowed to do this. Dear ones, may I remind you, he's God. He's your creator. He is the potter. We, the pot, don't have the right to tell him what to do or not to do. It is he who tests, just as he tested Job. He also tests you. And after the test is done, and then he blesses you, just as he blesses children when they come to him. Peter writes for us, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And there's that key word, dear ones, the word repentance. So often you're praying and you're praying and you're praying, but you're not repenting of your sin. You see, that's a stumbling block to many. They think that they're so self-righteous, they think that they're so holy, that God is automatically going to listen to their prayers. After all, I'm the high and mighty one. God's going to listen to me, of course. But what about their sin? What about your sin? What about my sin? Until we repent of our sin, God may just not have pity. He may wait, and he may wait, and he may wait. For his desire is that we do repent of our sins. Scripture tells us that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice what is contingent here, what is important, is that we confess our sins. So therefore, When we confess our sins, we do have faith. We do believe that God will answer our prayers. And we also believe that He does forgive us of our sins. Therefore, faith does not shrink from continued prayer. Yes, God is constantly testing our faith, but our faith is just like Jacob. We take hold of God and we wrestle with Him and we never let go. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. And ultimately, Jesus will answer as He answered this poor Canaanite woman. Oh, dear child, oh, great man, oh, dear woman, great is your faith. Yes, the faithful cry of the woman, and the faithful cry of the church is what saves us. This means approaching God in faith, in clinging to God, in believing what Jesus has done for you here at the cross. For here is your salvation, and it's that faith that clings to it, that cries out for it, that never lets go. But the problem is, as you have already heard, that there are many, especially in the church, who are not humble. They are arrogant. And what does God say about those people? God opposes the proud, James writes, but gives grace to the humble. The proud man will fall. The proud man, even though God will continue to test him, the proud man is arrogant towards God. He is like the rich young ruler who thinks that he can keep all of God's laws and therefore justify himself. But then when God says, "You are placing yourself above me," he slinks away knowing that he is condemned. And he does not repent of his sin. Dear ones, your Heavenly Father has had mercy upon you. And he has saved you from all of your sins. We know this because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus has saved each and every one of you. Long, long ago there in Golgotha. It's a free gift. This cross is a free gift to you. His resurrection guarantees your resurrection. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you have served in the church. This is His promise. When we die in the faith, He will resurrect us and He will give us that free gift of His kingdom. Together with this pagan woman, we confess the compassion of our Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, manifested in the work and person of the begotten one, of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it's the whole world, not just some, but all. His forgiveness is for all people, especially for you, as you wrestle with Him. As you cling to Him, as you refuse to let go of Him, as you cry out to Him, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me." Because of your Lord's willingness to die for you, yes, His willingness to die for you, each and every one of you, you are not lost sheep. You are no longer lost sheep out there wandering aimlessly into this world. It is the Holy Spirit who draws you now to Him, as today He draws a young man and a young woman to this altar to confess their faith. It is the work of the Lord doing this. It is not my work, and it is not their work. It is the Lord who draws them here, and He will make them His children as they confess their faith in Him. Even though this woman didn't have a place at the Lord's table, and she was eating the crumbs. For you, dear ones, that does not apply. For now in your baptism, and because of what He has done for you, you have a place at His table. You don't eat crumbs, no. For the rest of your life here on this earth, you eat body and blood that strengthens your faith, that forgives you of all of your sins, and to life and salvation. So finally, as you cry out to your Lord, even today, have mercy on me and help me, realize that He does have mercy and that He does help you. And these words that we speak so often in church are so true. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And because His mercy endures forever, your Father who is in heaven proclaims to each and every one of you that He has had mercy on you and that He does help you as He announces to you today that all your sin is forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.